What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Sift Spoil. We're going to go over the hanging threads, romances, jokes, Easter eggs, cameos, deaths, resurrections, and post-credit sequences.
They all die.
From, well, I just forgot that. Let There Be Death, I think is the name of the movie.
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die.
Ironic, again, considering it's almost 3 hours long. He has plenty of time.
And also ironic, considering spoilers, he does, in fact, die. This is the first.
So how surprised were you that they actually and literally killed James Bond?
I saw it coming. I think they set it up really nicely. If you had told me, like, if it were a spoiler to me and I didn't know and you were like, no, he dies in this, I'd be, what? You know, but the way the movie went, especially those last 15 minutes or so, it was clear to me this is where we were heading.
Sure.
And I think it's perfect. I just think it's absolutely perfect. I think the shot of him dying where it's like, oh, there's no doubt we are going to show you multiple missiles striking right where he is and him being vaporized by those missiles. And it's gorgeous. Yeah. It is such a beautiful, evocative shot. And
it's emotional. It actually has weight besides just the visual or just a shock value of they killed James Bond. It also has a really emotional undercurrent to it where he's finally given something to live for, a happy ending that could be, you know, achievable within his own lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it turns out seconds earlier, minutes earlier, he's been cursed with a poison that prevents that from ever being a reality. So he's like, you know what? If I'm going to go out, this is the way to do it in an absolute and literal blaze of glory. I told my wife about it when I got back from the movie, and she's like, "Oh yeah, but they'll bring him back." So I'm like, "No, they can't. There's no way to bring him back. This is they for sure, 100%. He is dead."
Yeah.
But if you stayed through the 12 minutes of credits, the very last thing on screen, as is the case in all Bond movies, was James Bond will return.
It didn't say 007 will return.
James Bond will return.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Are they just going to, they're just nakedly admitting we're going to reboot it and we'll have a new actor?
But that's, see, here's the thing. Bond has always played fast and loose with, is this a sequel or is it a reboot? Like the way that it carries Q into different, you know, from the beginning, like characters would carry over. Some would not. Some characters would be different. You know, you can,
and even Daniel Craig did it because Judi Dench came over from Pierce Brosnan's movies. But they very clearly like this is a reboot, but we're still borrowing some other elements from the previous.
So it's always played fast and loose with that stuff. I don't think they were worried about that. You know, a new Bond will have his story. I do wonder, does that make it less likely that we'll see any carryover? Like, are they going to have to really completely say like it's a different universe, right? Like. Which is sad for me because I like Ben Whishaw as
Ben Whishaw.
I think he's great.
And they did a little more sort of peppering in of his character in this movie, some hints of his personal life and like showing him prepping at home with his cat. And I loved all of that stuff. And I think he's a really compelling Q character. And he's young enough. I hope he does it as long as Desmond did for like the next 40 years mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
I doubt it. I think movie contracts are a lot harder to do these days than back then. But yeah, that does beg the question. When they recast this role, maybe as a woman or as a person of color, there's been lots of talk about lots of different actors stepping in. Will Ralph Fiennes and Will Ben Whishaw and Naomi Harris, will they all return mm-hmm. as like the MI6, you know, teammates? And I hope so. There's no reason to recast them as well. Ralph Fiennes probably bangs out his scenes in a weekend or two. Yeah. But and that traditionally has been how they've done it. Bernard Lee carried over for, I think, the first three or four mm-hmm. Bonds before they had to recast him as M. But yeah, anything could happen here. Who knows what the Broccoli family has in store for number 26.
It'll be interesting. I do think there's something about this ending that makes that more difficult for an audience not to be distracted by that. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, they'll bring James Bond back. I wonder if maybe they'll put those pieces in the TV show with the new 007. You know, it just depends on how much, and I say that like it's a guaranteed thing. Nobody's announced that or anything. I just assume Amazon bought, you know, those rights for a reason. And they want an expanded universe. And I think, you know, Bond will...
Yeah, that was... you mentioned it in the show proper, and it kind of flew past my head. But yeah, they had recently bought the rights from MGM,
mm-hmm.
But not the movie rights. I think they came out straight away and said, this will not sort of preempt the movies, which will always stay theatrical. They were mm-hmm. very, right. very steadfast on that position, which is why we had to wait a year and a half for this, because they didn't want to release it on video. They wanted to wait mm-hmm. until we could see it on big screens. And I'm glad they did it that way. I saw it in IMAX. It looked fantastic. But it is interesting that they bought the rights to a franchise that has heretofore never existed outside of cinemas. And there was a no streaming clause attached to it. So it's like they're clearly prepping a spinoff or some other property.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. So I wonder if you'll get Ben Whishaw and Ralph Fiennes in that in a TV show, which would have been unheard of, you know, 10 years ago. But now, like, movies are doing that with the big characters, you know, going over.
It would have been unheard of because Ralph Fiennes is too big of an actor.
Right, or? Yeah. Like, the idea of, you know, changing a movie with right. big characters into a TV show, that kind of thing. But, you know, there's so many.
Whenever that used to happen, they would just recast everybody.
Right.
Whenever they did a TV spinoff of a movie, they would just – all the big name actors couldn't – even animated shows.
Mm-hmm.
When they did like, you know, the Aladdin TV show, like a lot of those people didn't come back. Robin Williams certainly didn't. Because like, yeah, you can't commit to that stuff. But these days
– You look at what Marvel's doing. I mean, you know, those are the real – that's the real deal. That's Tom Hiddleston playing Loki in that Loki show. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I think Amazon, Apple, and the rest – are taking their cues from Kevin Feige, and they mm-hmm. realize there's money to be made in legitimate crossovers in television mm-hmm. as long as you hold it to the same quality standard and budget as the rest of it.
Yeah.
And people will enjoy it wherever they go to.
Yeah.
Any other big spoiler things?
No, I mean obviously that's the big one we want to talk about.
Bond has a kid. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, up until now, he has had relations with at least 50 to 70 women. And
it's not surprising he has a child.
It's not surprising. It's surprising this is the first time we've seen one.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely surprised they haven't pulled that thread yet where like some long-lost bastard child comes out of the woodwork who's like a 20-something guy who resents Bond for – like that could have been a good villain in a movie.
Right.
Right, where like someone comes out like, you were never the father I wanted and now I'm going to end the world or whatever. Like that's a plot. Mm-hmm. They never tapped into it. But this one, they use it sort of as a cheat card for emotional
kind of leverage. I think it works.
It does work.
Yeah.
The kid's adorable.
Yes. Yeah, she really is. yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there's anything else really to chat about spoiler wise. I think the villain's plan was, you know, a little bit all over the place. I mean, he's a poison dealer, I guess.
What were they doing with the water? I didn't understand that.
They're just making poisons. I think like he
Why used... were they in water though? Why was everyone wasting them in water?
Because you need water for plants. He's a poison botanist. Like he's, you know, an expert in.
And the plant only grows in wasty water?
Who knows?
In an old like Russian silo? I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just never. It was just. There's just a. Visually, it was a very provocative, mm-hmm. image of like all these people in hazmat suits in waist deep water doing something next to these vertical light tubes.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, why don't they just washing?
They're growing something,
like,
man.
What's going on?
Some sort of microscopic plant or something that eats people. Who knows?
Doesn't matter.
And then, you know, you've got the nanobot poison or whatever that that Spectre is trying to use, and instead Lucifer Satan, whatever his name is.
I wish we had subtitles in the theater, because I'm like, I must be hearing this name wrong. Is it Sufian, Lucifer, but it's spelled with like three Y's or something?
You know, he hijacks that, kills Spectre with it, and then, you know.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Is doing so.
I will say, I was a little disappointed in Blofeld's death. It felt very anticlimactic.
I liked and that I scene, though, overall.
I liked the Christoph Waltz makes any scene mm-hmm. awesome. But it felt very anticlimactic, especially because I thought they were going to develop this guy into like a multi-film big bad. And they just immediately took him out one scene into this second appearance.
Yeah. Well, and if I can...
And we never saw Blofeld bald or in a wheelchair. I thought they were going to sort of... let him escape and then mm-hmm. find a reason for him to be in and bring him back for a third movie and kind of reestablish him as like, you know, the big bad, but it was just, okay, he dies.
And if I can
close the loop.
If I can nitpick, that scene distracted me too, because she puts these nanobots on like perfume, like on her wrists. Right. And then she's afraid to go in there, but James touches her wrist and then the nanobites don't get him until James tries to choke him. Right. And so my question is, was she going to smear her wrists all over him? I thought these things were airborne. Like what? Like, I just thought it had to be in the room.
I think they go into your blood. And they mentioned at some point physical touch, that you had to kiss somebody or they had to get in saliva or blood.
So how did the spray work at the beginning then?
Because you were inhaling it.
Well, that's what I'm
getting it into your face.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I guess I didn't understand.
I think she could have either. Sprayed the perfume directly at Blofeld, that would have worked.
Uh-huh.
Or spray it on her hands and then make the hands physically touch him, and that sort of completes the loop.
Yeah, it was. Just...
It made sense to me, but I didn't think about it.
It was a little weird to me.
As soon as he touched Blofeld, I was like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here. He's contaminating him. He'll be dead, and he is dead in a second.
And then the whole thing at the end where the movie is telling us, oh, it's over. He's never going to be able to touch his wife and child again. And I'm like, but really? Because these are nanobots. Like, it's not like you can't, you know, invent another nanobot that could, you know, target these nanobots. You know what I mean?
Like I up until like 5 minutes before he was vaporized by the missiles, I was definitely expecting like a Star Trek-y ending where Q is like, oh, wait, it turns out after all, I do have the cure. Come back.
Well, it would have like, made a lot of sense, actually, right? Like yeah. this, if you can on a computer type the programming for these bots, how can you not program some different bots to go in there? Like, it makes sense to me that, I don't know, it was one of those things where I know what the movie needs me to believe.
Yeah, right.
But for once, I'm just like, also, you could always wear a hazmat suit. You could still give them hugs and stuff. Like, it's not like you can't be in the same room with them.
Right.
You know, so I don't know.
I'm glad they at least stuck to their guns, because when they established it early that this is permanent and you can't take it out of your bloodstream, I was like, is it though? Because I really expected them to, like, in the 11th hour for Q to be like, we actually can do it because this, this, and this. And forget everything I said. It was meaningless.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Star Trek because they used to do that all the time.
Right.
At the beginning of the episode, something would happen. We can't fix it. And then it turns out, oh, look, magic science, and we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they didn't. They stuck to their guns. They kept it the way
they
it was.
They stuck to their missiles.
And I got to say, you mentioned that the ending was perfect. I'm inclined to agree. I thought the very final two or three shots where Leia Sado was in the car with her daughter and the love theme from On Her Majesty's Secret Services playing. And she says, I want to tell you a story about your father. Or rather, I want to tell you a story about Bond, James Bond. That was just like a perfect little bookend. That was great. I really loved the ending in a way that I didn't expect like a Bond movie to like emotionally hit me like that. Because it has never approached anything close to that.
Yeah.
But this movie was like, hey, you know what? Maybe, what if you actually felt something?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is the thing I wanted to go back to, the theme echoes and that kind of stuff. The theme is from You Only Live Twice, and it's the...
Yeah, the strings of it, yeah. Right.
And that starts playing as Bond is heading towards the final island scene, and he's driving up along the hillside, and it's just and it's almost a somber version of those strings.
It's whatever that phrase is, the you know, the down chord,
right? Piano yeah. And so I didn't think much of it other than, oh, I know that sound. And now I'm wondering, You Only Live Twice, the plot of that movie is that Bond is quote unquote dead for a large portion of that movie, right? Like, a large portion of that movie, he is faking, you know, being dead or whatever. And so then my mind's going, wait, is that intentional? Is it like he's going to his death? And so they're playing the one, you know, a theme from the one movie where he was quote unquote dead. So I don't know that that's the case. I'm inclined to believe it isn't, but it was just one of those weird connections that I was like, oh, I wonder if that's, you know, intentional. So that's what
I always appreciate a movie that weaves in themes in a deliberate way to indicate either emotional cues or character cues. John Williams famously did it whenever, obviously, Vader had the Imperial March, but like smaller beats, like the love theme, when characters would look a certain way, you would hear just a couple chords of, you know, Princess Leia's theme, and that would sort of emotionally cue you into what you're supposed to be feeling.
Yep.
And yeah, like the James Bond franchise or any action movie, it's not particularly subtle with those types of sort of underneath the radar cues like that. But I really loved that it was, one, a callback to a movie that came out in the 60s, and because it that was a theme that we had already pre-associated with certain feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
And they had that line, we have all the time in the world, which is a callback to when Bond got married in the Lazenby picture right before his wife is immediately murdered. And I'm like, all right, they're drawing some parallels here. Because when he says we all have the time in the world, the irony is they have absolutely none. And like the very next scene, she's murdered. And that sort of paralleled what we saw here, where they thought they had this, you know, life ahead of them. And they were planning all these years and years, like, what are we going to do now? We're retired. And then, like, the very next day, that entire thing is ripped out from under them.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Well, that's all I had. And, John, if you don't have anything else, I think we're good to go. Thank you so much for joining and chatting Bond. And, you know, I know it's, as I've been watching these old Bond movies, I've seen your reviews of them on Letterboxd after I've, you know, kind of put mine in. And it's kind
I've reviewed, like, at least half of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot.
So yeah.
Have I appreciated that. Have they lined up your thoughts with mine?
Mostly, yeah. And I think that's evident in kind of where we ranked stuff. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed in some ways that I kind of got through all the Bonds. I ranked them, and then I went and kind of did some like Rotten Tomatoes research and different things. And I was kind of disappointed that my ratings are all kind of typical. I was like, I kind of wanted the, you know, the one, even like with like Moonraker, I'm like, oh, there is a large group of people that like love Moonraker. Like that's a, you know, that's a thing.
No, Moonraker's solid. That's like number 12 for me. That's yeah. like top half of the list. When it feels like it's easy to deride it for being so goofy and anti-gravity and stuff. But yeah. real quickly, without derailing this or taking too long, what would be like your worst movie if you have ranked them?
I mean, Casino Royale is...
Of the official 25.
I have
The Man with the Golden Gun in last place. I think that is one of the weaker entries, and the Scaramanga villain is not interesting at all. He's just a guy that has a gun. he doesn't have any plan. Like Bond goes to his house, starts a duel, and kills him. He was minding his own business.
He was
a hitman for hire.
That's my second least favorite. So we're in agreement on that. My least favorite is A View to a Kill.
Okay.
I just thought I have a soft spot
for that because I love Duran Duran.
Oh, okay.
Chris Walken is great, and I think that Golden Gate Bridge sequence is legitimately awesome. But nice. it is also really, really hokey, and Roger Moore is 55 on going on 70
yeah.
in this movie. And he's like every shot is an obvious stunt double, and the movie is like, all right, you needed to pack it in a couple movies ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I like it, but it's not good. Objectively terrible. Subjectively, yeah. I kind of love it.
Yeah, I think I gave a shout out to Christopher Walken and Grace Jones, who I both thought were really fun in it. But other than that, no. Well, there you go. There's the spoilers on To Live and Let Die Only Once Another Day, or whatever this one was called. No Time to Die. We will catch you next time.
Tomorrow never dies.
Or tomorrow maybe died once. All right. We'll catch you next time when we need to spoil something. See you then.
Bye. Thanks.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.